Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. The last several weeks, we've been talking about Calvinism. Calvinism is represented by the acrostic TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, preservation or perseverance of the saints, once saved, always saved. We've proved all five of those points false in the last 6 or 8 weeks. When I say we proved it, we gave what God said on it, and we gave plenty of verses to prove each point false. None of them were ambiguous. They were all clear. There's not a single verse that teaches any Calvinism. It's just something that somebody made up. We proved them all false. Last week, we got into the last point, once saved, always saved. We gave 6 or 8 passages. All of them conclusively proved that once saved, always saved, that's just wishful thinking. It's a false idea. The Bible does not teach it. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest I by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Or the NIV says disqualified for the prize. A castaway is when somebody's thrown off the boat, for example, into the ocean. He doesn't make his destination. Paul's saying, if I don't keep my body under subjection, if I don't discipline my body, some translations will say, in other words, if I go off into sin, I'm not going to make my destination. I'm going to be disqualified for the prize. Heaven. He won't go to heaven. Now, if Paul the Apostle, second only to Jesus, is perhaps the most famous gospel preacher of all time, if he could possibly lose his salvation, and he can, according to this verse, he could, then we could lose our salvation also. It's possible that we don't have to, but it's possible for a Christian, a born-again person, to so sin as to lose their salvation. We've got an example of this in Acts chapter 8. In verse 12, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women," referring to the Samaritans. Verse 13, "Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done." So you have these Samaritans that believed and were baptized. They were saved according to Jesus, because he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Simon himself believed also, meaning he had a genuine belief, because he says he believed also, just like these Samaritans. He was baptized, so he was saved according to Mark 16:16. But then later on, let's skip down to verse 18. It says, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Here's Simon the sorcerer. He'd become a Christian. He believed just like these other Samaritans. He had been baptized. He did what Jesus said do to be saved, Mark 16:16. He sins as a Christian, though. And Peter tells him he's in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity and needs to repent to be forgiven. That's exactly what we're talking about. Simon was a person who became a Christian. And then when he sinned in this such a way, he's now lost and needs to repent to be forgiven. Very clear passage. How about 1 Timothy 5:12, talking about these young widows? It says that having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. If they go off into sin, they're going to be condemned because they've cast off their first faith. You can't say they never were saved because they had faith. They cast off their faith. People say, once you have faith, you can't lose it. These widows did. It says they cast off their first faith. So they had faith, they cast it off. And because of that, it says they're under condemnation. I didn't write that. That's in the book of God, 1 Timothy 5:12. You may remember 2 Peter 1:9-11 that talks about the Christian graces. It says, "If you do these things, ye shall never fall." That implies that if you don't do these things, if you don't add the Christian graces, you will fall. If you do these things, if you add the Christian graces, you'll never fall. Again, the Bible clearly implies here that you will fall if you don't add these Christian graces. A Christian who does not grow like he's ought to, he's going to lose his salvation. He will fall If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. In Luke 8, verse 13, we have Jesus' explanation for the parable of the sower. And he says, one of the soils, S-O-I-L-S, represents people, it says, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now you can't say they weren't believers, they were believers. But in time of temptation, they fell away. So the preservation or the perseverance of the saints doctrine says that if you really become a Christian, you won't fall away. But one of the soils in the parable of the sower represents some people who believe and then fall away in time of temptation. You can fall away. Bible is clear. We looked at 6 or 8 or passages last week, 2 or 3 or 4 this week. All of them conclusively prove that a Christian can fall from grace. The Baptists say you can't fall from grace, but Paul, talking to some Christians in Galatians 5:4 who were trying to be bind the Old Testament law, says, ye are fallen from grace. I would say that proves you can fall from grace if Paul said through the inspiration of God some people had fallen from grace. Wouldn't you say that? You know, the same was true under the Old Testament law. Under the Old Testament, they lived under a different law, but they could lose their salvation just like people in the New Testament dispensation can lose their salvation. Here's Ezekiel 18:24. It says, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Here's a righteous man. Now, you're not righteous because nobody's righteous because they've lived perfectly their whole life. So we're not talking about this man being righteous because he's lived perfectly. We're talking about a man who's righteous because he's been forgiven of his sins, and he's living according to God's law. In Ezekiel 18:24, he'd be talking about the Old Testament law. He's righteous, meaning he's been forgiven. He's been saved from his sins. And he's living in a righteous way. But he turns from that and starts committing iniquity and starts doing according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth. The question is, will he live or die? He's talking about spiritual death here, spiritual life. This righteous man that turns away from his righteousness and starts living in a wicked way, the answer is, it says, in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. He was righteous at one time, meaning he had been forgiven. He was living according to God's law. He had been saved, and now he's living according to God's law, but now he turns away from that and starts living in a wicked way. People say that's impossible, but this verse says that he can turn to wickedness. If he does, he spiritually dies. That's pretty clear, isn't it? How about 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2? And we'll start in the middle of that verse. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. By the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. 2 Chronicles 15, 2. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, the first part of that says, the Lord is with you while you be with him, implying that if you quit being with the Lord, he'll quit being with you. That's confirmed by the last part of the verse. It says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, the once saved, always saved position, the P in TULIP, central part of Calvinism, they say, even if you're a Christian, even if you forsake the Lord, he will not forsake you. But this says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I know that goes against the grain. I know a lot of people want to say that even if you forsake God, he won't forsake you. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says here, 2 Chronicles 15:2, says, the Lord is with you while you be with him, implying that if you're not with him anymore, he's not going to be with you anymore. And then we know that's for sure because it says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I didn't write that. That's what God says about it. Clearly teaching that if you forsake God, he will forsake you. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. You know, the same thing is in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says this, if we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So if we endure, we're going to reign with Christ, implying about Christians, if they don't endure, they won't reign with him. Then it says, if we deny him, he will deny us. That sounds like if you forsake him, he'll forsake you, doesn't it? Sounds just like that. In the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 15, 2, if you forsake God, he'll forsake you. New Testament, if you deny him, if you deny God, he will deny you. Again, I'm not writing this. This is God. God must have said, I'm sure it's over 100 times, verses, if you go all the way through the Bible, at least 100 times where he says, he teaches conclusively, a Christian can lose his salvation. Not one time does he say that you can't. That's only been made up by people because they want to be able to say that they're saved and think of themselves as saved, even though they're not living according to God's New Testament law. They're not living the way Christ says, and they want to be saved anyway. It's just wishful thinking. Nothing in the Bible like that. All of the verses, over 100, I'm sure, teach that once saved, always saved is false. And we've gone through a number of them. Another good one is Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, he's talking to Christians here. He tells them not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. Verse 25. In other words, don't miss church is the way we'd put that in our vernacular. Verse 26, he says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Here's a Christian who sins willfully after he's received the knowledge of the truth. He says there's no more sacrifice for sin. Instead, you're going to get judgment and fiery indignation. Well, where might a person receive judgment and fiery indignation? That'd have to be the bad place, wouldn't it? Eternal punishment. That's where you'd receive fiery indignation. We know this is talking about a Christian. Notice verse 29. This is Hebrews 10, 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite it to the Spirit of grace. So we know this person is a Christian, because it says they've been sanctified. But now it's saying they're counting the blood of the covenant, wherewith they were sanctified, an unholy thing. They were sanctified by the blood, but now they're disrespecting the blood. They're showing disrespect for the blood. They're trodding underfoot the Son of God. Our vernacular would say, of course they become a Christian, they were sanctified by the blood, but now they're spitting in the face of Jesus. You can't say they weren't Christians because they were sanctified by the blood. They had become Christians. Now they're disrespecting that blood. They're counting it an unholy thing, the blood they were sanctified by. They're trodding underfoot the Son of God. Verse 27 says their destination is judgment and fiery indignation. That can only be one place. They're going to be lost. You know that and I know that. Why fight against it? Wishful thinking is not the truth. Just because you want to think of yourself as saved, even though you're not bound and determined to live right, you're going to live like the world and say, I want to be saved anyway. That's the once saved, always saved position. There's no scriptural basis for it. It's all been made up by people who don't want to live the way the Bible teaches that they should live. It's part of Calvinism, a man-made system. Every point, all the 5 points of Calvinism, we've proven wrong. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. You know, Revelation 2:10 says this, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He's talking to Christians there. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What's the implication? That if you don't remain faithful unto death, you won't receive the crown of life. Isn't that true? If he's telling Christians to be faithful unto death, he'll give them a crown of life. Wouldn't that imply that you're not going to receive the crown of life? You're not going to go to heaven if you're not faithful unto death? That's exactly, you know it means that. That's exactly what it means. If you're a Christian, you're not going to be saved for sure, meaning once saved, always saved. No matter how you live, you're still going to be saved. No, you're going to be saved for sure if you remain faithful unto death. But a lot of Christians don't do that. They don't remain faithful unto death. So they're going to be lost. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's clear as you can get it. You know, the once saved, always saved theory is a good example of what we call wishful thinking. People believing what they want to be true instead of what is actually true. Here's a two or three quotes from Baptist preachers. We gave one last week. Let's look at some more. Baptist preacher Vernon Barr, now he's talking about what he believes, his own position. He says, Baptists teach that a child of God can do anything he wants to and go to heaven anyhow. You know, if you keep preaching that over and over and over to your audiences, that you can do anything you want to and still go to heaven anyhow, how are many of the listeners going to start living? Well, yeah, they're going to start living any old way they want to, because you've told them over and over again, you can live any old way you want to and still go to heaven. That's a terrible doctrine. Not only is it false, it's so dangerous because it teaches people they can live immorally, still go to heaven. And when people hear that, a lot of them are going to start living immorally because they'll have this false sense of hope that they'll go to heaven anyway, but they're not going to go to heaven if they live immorally. Here's from a Baptist preacher named Bill Foster. Here's how he put the once saved, always saved position. He says, if I killed my wife and mother and debauched 1,000 women, I couldn't go to H-E-L-L. In fact, I couldn't go to H-E-L-L if I wanted to. He's saying, since he's a Christian, he could kill his wife and his mother and commit debauchery with 1,000 women, and he still wouldn't go to the bad place because he believes once saved, always saved. No matter how you live, it's impossible for a Christian to lose his salvation. Of course, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. You can't give a verse for that. It's not in the Bible. It's proven false by many dozens of passages in the Bible. And these are simple and clear passages. They're not ambiguous. Martin Luther, the famous Martin Luther, said to Melanchthon, I don't know how to pronounce that correctly. Here's what Martin Luther said. He said, sin cannot tear you away from him. Talking about Christ. Even though you commit adultery 100 times a day and commit as many murders. You see that? If you're a Christian, according to Martin Luther, sin cannot tear you away from Christ. Even if you were to commit adultery 100 times a day and commit as many murders, sin could not tear you away from Christ. Once saved, always saved. Martin Luther said that, but it doesn't match up anywhere close to what we've been reading in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. The Bible says adulterers and murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verse 8. The sexually immoral, murderers, liars, they're all going to be lost according to Revelation 21, verse 8. That's exactly the opposite of what Martin Luther said. We've read Galatians 5, 4, talking to Christians who are trying to bind, you who are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. The Baptists will say you can't fall from grace. That verse says you are fallen from grace. It's pretty strange why God would say, tell some people they had fallen from grace if that were impossible. Pretty strange indeed. Now in Hebrews 3, we read this last week. Remember verse 1? Verse 1, he's talking to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's got to be a Christian. Only a brother that is a Christian is a brother who's been is holy if he's been sanctified. Only a Christian is partaking of the heavenly calling. Verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. It shows that a brother, a Christian, can develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from God. And John 3:36 says unbelievers are going to be lost. So if the person's a believer and becomes an unbeliever, which Hebrews 3:12 shows is possible, an unbeliever is going to be lost. That proves once saved, always saved is false. Another passage I like to read is James 5:19 and 21. So clear on this issue. So clear. It says, brethren, we're talking about Christians here, brethren, if any of you do wander from the truth, that's the New King James Version, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. If you have a little child that wanders from the house, that means he was at the house and he left the house. Here's a brother. He wanders from the truth. That means he was in the truth and he left the truth. Our job is to try to convert him back. And if we're able to convert him back, it says we'll save his soul from death. That implies that if he refuses to be converted back, his soul's going to die. His soul's going to die. He's going to be lost. His sins won't be covered, according to that, if he refuses to be converted back. Again, I didn't write that. God wrote that. And he makes it perfectly clear a Christian can lose his salvation. How about 2 Peter 2, verse 20? He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Pollutions here. Don't think smog. Footnotes has sins. The newer translations have corruption. They've escaped the corruptions or the sins of the world through the knowledge of Christ. That can only be talking about a Christian. Only a Christian has escaped the sins of the world through the knowledge of Christ. It's talking about a Christian, but it says, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, they're overcome, go back into the sins of the world to overcome. It says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What would that mean? Well, if it's worse off than before you became a Christian to start with, that's what it's talking about. If you hadn't become a Christian yet, you're lost. So if you're worse off than that, you'd have to be lost. But this is talking about a Christian. He's escaped the sins of the world through Christ. Now he goes back into the sins of the world. He's worse off than if he'd never become a Christian to begin with. He's lost. How about another verse that's not tricky at all? It's so easy. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us. 877-655-6755. Number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Here's what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The verse is saying, if you overcome as a Christian, overcome temptation, persecution, Jesus will not blot your name out of the book of life. But that implies that if you don't overcome temptation, you will be blotted out of the book of life. That implies that. What's the book of life? God's list of the names of all the saved people. If you're in that book, the book of life, you're saved. But he says here, if you don't overcome temptation, he'll blot your name out. You'll be erased out of that book. Your name will be, which means you're not saved anymore. Again, very clearly teaching once saved, always saved is false. False to the core. It's not only false, but as we pointed out, it's dangerous because it actually encourages immoral living. If you keep telling people over and over and over again, they can live any old way they want to and still be saved. That's exactly what the preacher Vernon Barge said that I quoted a while ago. You keep telling them that over and over and over, a lot of them are going to start living any old way they want to. Why not? You told them they can be saved anyway. Once saved, always saved. And they're going to be lost because of it. False teaching that causes people to live immorally and causes them to be lost. Once saved, always saved is absolutely not true. Absolutely false to the core. Look, if you want a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me, sometime at your convenience, a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me, call me at 256 or text me 256-682-9753. The number to call or text if you want a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience is 256-682-9753. Let me put in a plug for the website, BibleCrossfire.com, which is done by my friend Shane. Shane has got the website BibleCrossfire.com done for me. You can ask me a Bible question there. You can listen to old programs. You can sign up for a correspondence course done over the internet. You can request a one-on-one Bible study with me. All kinds of things you do at BibleCrossfire.com. Steve, okay, from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hello. I'm kind of confused with how you address Jesus, because I've heard that, you know, Christ is a title. I'm not sure if that's correct or accurate, but I've heard Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, you're in Christ. So there's a bit of confusion for me there.
You mean about what we should call Christ?
Is Christ a title? Because, you know, before, like when he was a young man, his name was Jesus of Nazareth.
I've got it. Right? Steve, I got to go off the air. Maybe we can talk later, okay? I got to go off the air.
Thank you.
All right. It doesn't really matter whether you think of Christ as a title or a name. He can be called Jesus, Emmanuel. You can call him Jesus Christ. You can call him Christ. I think Christ really is a title, but that doesn't make any difference. Call him what you want to, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, all of that's fine.